Only locally produced sports talk radio show is on the way. The world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to us. We're going to have some fun tonight. Man, it's going to be a sports heavy heavy show tonight, which is different for us. We didn't have sports for about 3 months there, so we would break down cereals and the like. But now we actually have almost too much sports, so it's going to be a lot of show, a lot of fun. Before we get started, I want to thank you for spending an hour of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. And I also want to thank some of our underwriters. I can almost do this read from memory at this point, because these guys have been down with us for a long time. So shout out to our supporters at North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure Sports features Trek Bicycles USA and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico. You can also reach them at North Rim Adventure. .com. Once again, thank you. Thank you to North Rim. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some fun talking about practice. Starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show back in the building. Thank you for tuning in right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. I'm your host, Dro. I got my man, John Lucan, a.k.a. the long snapper, in the building with me. What's goody?
Ooh, what it do?
I'm super jacked up right now. I am so excited for this show.
Awesome.
I just always get excited when there's just two of us, you know? Yeah. Or just not Brad.
That's right.
Just kidding. I love you, Brad.
Co-creator, co-founder of the show, Derek Asmaki, is out today. Brad is out doing the training. Jordan is up and ready and working his little butt off.
Crying also about the Clippers.
Yeah, he's still upset about that. So it's just John and I. This should be some fun. However, we do have a special guest in the building with us, our man Tyler Irving. If you are not familiar, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, Tyler Irving is one of the better photographers locally, one of the better videographers locally. He's going to be doing some work for us. We're trying to serve you guys up a bunch more content. And by the way, I appreciate everyone who follows us on TBP Not a Game on Instagram, TBP Not a Game on IG. We've heard from you. I know you guys want some more stuff, and we are working on it. I've been working like a madman trying to get us up and running on Twitch. And let me tell you, to the people who are pulling Twitch off effectively, hats off, because my God, is that a lot of work.
It really is.
Oh, my God. There's
just sitting in for like a half an hour watching you guys try to figure out logistics and all that.
There's so many moving parts to it.
It's mind-boggling.
Bottling?
Yeah.
All right.
You know where your thoughts are all trapped in a bottle?
Okay. I'll take it. Two birds in the bush, right?
It and one in the hand.
Yeah, correct.
I do. Wish Derek was here to hear me now.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some NBA. Obviously, we got to talk about that Anthony Davis shot from last night. We have some bets to talk about. My man John Lucan is on a heater.
Finally. I'm back. I'm Tiger.
He's back. Oh, okay.
I may not like Tiger because I'm way more back.
We have our foreign correspondent, Aaron Isamaki, going to join us, breaking down the U.S. Open from this past weekend. The Stanley Cup is currently going on. She's going to talk about that a bit. And we're going to get a list of the first team all-world menacing athletes. In the vein of seeing those James Harrison FanDuel commercials where he just absolutely destroys.
Can I get it without the tackle?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't get paid without the tackle.
So we're going to talk, because of the inspiration of that, we're going to discuss first team all-world menacing athletes. I got a player haters ball. We got some rapid fire on the back end of the show. But first, let's start with what we saw most recently, being last night. And I have a question for you, John.
Me? Really?
Just you.
Anyone else? Anyone else want to answer this?
Derek, you got it? No, Brad? All right. Jordan? Okay. Yeah, no, this one's for you. And I've asked it before, and I'm still curious. How the hell did the Patriots end up with Cam Newton? They literally lost the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL as far as winning and all that. And we could start splitting hairs, but let's just say he's the greatest.
Right.
And they upgraded at the position in the offseason.
Yeah, they fully did. And it's so funny is seeing that game last night is so many people have been on this off the wagon, I guess, for in the sense of Cam Newton. Didn't think he had it. I mean, the guy's 31.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty prime at 31, and I am a horrible person. You know what I mean? Like, this dude is at peak form.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that people don't think that he's still MVP caliber is ridiculous. Like, Blaine Gabbert and Nathan Peterman have more guaranteed signing money.
Yes.
Than Cam Newton.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
Coming out throwing 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. Had the game in the – I mean, whether the play call or whatever. I mean, hats off to the Seattle Seahawks. But he had the – I mean, he came back to a Seattle Seahawks team that was dominating him.
He was responsible for 96% of that offense yesterday. I believe they went for 494 yards, of which he was responsible for 466 of them.
Ridiculous.
And I think – what would you say? Let me get your opinion. Do you think Belichick enjoys running this offense more than he has with
way
the last three or four Brady years?
Way more.
He's,
oh, my God.
He's never had a mobile quarterback.
Well, he has like 14 more pages to his playbook now. You know what I mean? Like, where you have certain offenses, you can't – I mean, we talked about it over Sunday football. Like, you had – even – you look at Peyton Manning kind of in his later years. Mm. You know, even Eli Manning, Tom Brady does the same thing. He gets those pressures. You get a little bit of touch on his shoulder or a little bit of pressure. He goes down. They're old. They don't want to deal with hits. You know what I mean? Cam Newton doesn't give a hoot about that.
No,
you know what I mean?
He
like
really doesn't.
He falls – he's 6'5", 230. He falls forward. You know what I mean? Like, he does not care. And Belichick, knowing that, the way Belichick runs through his running backs, you got to be excited as Belichick having that as your quarterback.
You know, yeah, and so many people today are playing Monday morning quarterback and questioning the call at the end of the game. An interesting side note before I get to my point here. The last three times the Patriots and Seahawks have met, the game has ended on the final possession on the 1 yard line. And the team with the ball on the 1 yard line has lost every matchup. So we're talking about the Malcolm Butler interception on the one. We're talking about the missed pass to Gronk in the end zone. And now yesterday, Cam getting stuffed at the 1 yard line.
Wow.
But everyone is bringing up, or not, I shouldn't say everyone, but I've heard a lot of people today, Monday morning quarterbacking this and saying, why would you run that play? They knew it was coming because they ran it all game long.
And it was successful all game long.
The Seahawks weren't able to stop it. And here's the thing. There is no better short yard runner in the history of the NFL more effective than Cam Newton.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, watching just NFL football, you see, you know, the standard running back is going to be, you know, 5'7 to 5'11, still at, you know, 200, 205. When they hit the hole and they get hit by that initial linebacker, whatever it is, they're going down, and you see that linebacker push that body to where he can't get more yardage, right?
Yeah.
Cam Newton, that doesn't happen with Cam Newton. Cam Newton got stuck at third and one and fell his 6'5 body forward, and no linebacker safety, no one was able to push him back.
Yeah.
Like, he is a different specimen.
Yeah.
And at 31, he's had a year off of that shoulder, that ankle injury, for people to be like, oh, no, he's done. And then let's go all in on Kellen Clemens and Blaine Gabbert. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
The Panthers paid big money for Teddy Bridgewater, two-glove Teddy, Teddy Two Gloves, as Derek affectionately refers to him as. And I guess they had to have thought Cam was done. And here's the scariest part. Is this is his second week in this offense with no preseason, with a limited training camp. And I don't want to sound hyperbolic or too overreactionary, but that was some of the most accurate balls I've ever seen Cam Newton throw in that game.
I mean, at least in a long time. Yeah. I mean, over the last couple of years, you've seen him kind of riddled with injury, and Carolina had... I mean, this is even before Christian McCaffrey. Carolina had no team, so they were like, dude, get out there or we're going to win one game this year. Yeah. We're going to be the Browns or the Bengals. Like, we are literally Cam Newton away from being the worst team in the league. And so they had to rely on that. And Cam being Cam, the competitor that he is, constantly went out there, rain or shine.
Yeah.
Right? Which is probably against, now looking back, is probably against his benefit. Mm. But, I mean, you look at it in the sense of as Belichick picking up another stud.
On a veteran
contract, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them extend him another 3 or 4 years and just let it ride for the...
Oh, yeah, he's going to be their future, you would imagine.
I mean, I would see Belichick wanting to end his career with, two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I've lamented this fact. During the offseason, I yelled at John Lynch on this, not directly, however, he's not taking my calls right now, but on this radio show, I don't understand how not one team picked up the phone and just called Cam. Yeah. Is there any interest? Let's talk to the doctors. Let's see where his shoulder's at. And granted, workouts were a little funnier this offseason. It wasn't as easy to just bring someone in. But rest assured, people are still getting worked out, and teams are still getting a chance to look at these guys. I don't understand how you can't call up a former MVP and just say, hey, would you have any interest in playing here? Can we get you to come out and do a workout?
It's so funny, too, because going over free agency, we're like, man, there's a few places he could go and fit.
Yeah.
But now that the season started and after 2 weeks, I'm like, damn, there's like 15 teams he could have went to and been productive with.
Yeah,
that could have really used him.
You see Jimmy Garoppolo, he looked well yesterday. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
He played well in the first half. And this is just my welcome to my hell, which is being a Niners fan, which is could be way worse. I could root for the team we beat the hell out of, the Jets. But this is what it's been with Jimmy G since he's got here. He's the savior of the franchise. He's trash. He's amazing. He's garbage. And yesterday he played great, and then he went down with a knee injury. I haven't seen an update on where that stands.
No, his high. It's more of a high ankle sprain.
Okay. Okay.
Now for Jimmy G,
and that can take you out for some time. So we'll see what happens there. But
it's his planting foot as well. So.
Yeah. And you know how frustrated I was that the Niners didn't even bother calling the former MVP in Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And they have the perfect offense designed for someone like Cam Newton, a mobile quarterback in an RPO offense.
Right.
It would be nearly unstoppable.
Right. What's weird is like Cam is so put into this shell of this running quarterback, which he is. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's an athletic specimen and still at 31 is running sub 4.5s.
Yeah.
But at the, at 2:30. But still, I mean, like the dude, like you said, the dude has a cannon. Like he puts it on a line. There was a couple throws he had misplaced, but the dude has still got it. Throws for 375 and 3 TDs against one of the best defenses, and Jamal Adams, coming at him on every other play. Like it blows
Edelman
my mind that he is league minimum right now.
Julian Edelman had his best game career in his
career.
Also
had two concussions last night that no one threw him off the field for.
Yeah, no.
That guy is a walking CTE scan.
Man, it's rough. Speaking of rough, your Atlanta Falcons, baby.
Oh,
my.
Can never trust them.
Let's throw it back.
Never trust them.
I've been talking about this since we started the show 6 years ago now. And so we're going to throw it back to the early stages of this show. And again, y'all should just listen to this show because we're prophets around here.
Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
as Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week three or four, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they won the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England. Oh, man. The Falcons. Should we start with the history? Give y'all a little history lesson on your Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons once made a Super Bowl in which they had a pretty good chance to defeat your Denver Broncos, John. And the NFL Man of the Year, Eugene Robinson, decided to get arrested the night before the Super Bowl for getting for soliciting a prostitute. Man of the Year.
Living his best life.
The Falcons once had a running back, and his name is not...
Devontae Freeman.
No, not him.
Tevin Coleman.
No.
Warwick Dunn.
The first...
Jamal Anderson.
No. Their first 1,000-yard rusher in the history of the franchise rushed for 1,001 yards, and they paused the game to give him the ball so he could go celebrate, put the ball away. Two plays later, he was tackled for a loss and finished the season with 995 yards. The Atlanta Falcons, in recent memory, were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots and blew it. And then there's yesterday.
29-10.
20-0 to start the game. They have the lead. And since 1933... there's been 440 games in which a team has scored 39 points and had zero turnovers. And in those 440 games, teams are 440-0. Now they are 440-1. You're Atlanta Falcons, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's really sad, though, because if you did watch that game, there was, it's just the Atlanta. I'm so sorry, Atlanta, you know.
I'm not.
Stick with your peaches, you know, because they had a wildcat formation, and one of the receivers took the snap and threw a 40-yard dime to none other than the best catcher in the NFL, besides maybe
Hopkins,
Fitzgerald.
And Fitzgerald, yeah.
And Julio Jones, dropped it.
In the end zone.
In the end zone.
In his hands. Dropped a dime.
Like bricked off his hands.
Yeah.
Never seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that dude.
He put the bread in the basket.
I've seen that dude be completely covered up by a DB, have the DB intercept the ball, and him just rip
take it
the ball
out of
from
his hands.
Hands.
Yeah. But not yesterday.
Well, Falcons.
Why?
Gotta love them.
Because the Falcons.
Yeah. That's why. What's funny is I almost wanted to take that game. And I wanted to go Falcons, but then I was like, your kind of methodology. I'm like, I can't trust the Falcons. And then I was like, I can't trust the Cowboys either.
Brad watched that game, watched the most of that game with me and then left and said, I don't know why I don't listen to you. I went against everything the show believes in. I took the Falcons and it came back to bite me.
Well, yeah. Second quarter, Brad's like, Jerome's stupid. I'm the best better ever.
Yeah.
Don't trust him.
I got this. Never, ever, ever trust the... You know what? Let's just play it again in case you didn't hear me the first time. Give me 1 second. All right, here we go.
Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week three or four, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they won the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England. Yep. Once again, just listen to your boy.
Atlanta, you're burnt.
Listen to me now. Believe me later on. My man Bomani Jones used to be an Atlanta Falcons fan, and he told everyone, he told all his listeners, he got off that narcotic. I would recommend y'all did too. Before we move on and get into some of the bets you took, we'll get into the Niners, some of the injuries over the past weekend that are absolutely devastating to the NFL as a whole product. But especially if you're a Niners fan right now, man, losing Bosa yesterday.
I mean, you're used to 9-7, right?
Anyway, we were talking about Cam Newton prior to just mocking the Falcons and all the pain that the Atlanta Falcons are feeling today. And we're talking about how so many teams passed on a former MVP who is still, he's not young, but he's certainly not old when you have Tom Brady and Drew Brees out here in their 40s still starting. And you have a list here of what now?
Yeah, so this is the list of quarterbacks signed deals this year currently with more guaranteed money than Cam Newton. And this is from this offseason.
Okay.
Just purely this offseason.
Okay.
We have Andy Dalton.
You blew it.
Blaine Gabbert.
You blew it.
Brett Hundley.
You blew it.
Colt McCoy. Didn't even know he was
He's
in the
league.
He's
still in the league?
Colt McCoy has more guaranteed money. Jeff Driskel, who I might add did look really decent in the Broncos backup
solid.
Game, but not enough Cam Newton money. Chase Daniel.
You blew it.
Marcus Mariota.
You blew it.
Case Keenum.
You blew it.
AJ McCarron.
You blew it.
Chad Henne.
You blew it.
Matt Schaub.
You blew it.
Matt Barkley.
You blew it.
And oh yeah, Nathan Peterman. By the way,
Peterman.
All of these quarterbacks on this list are second or third string quarterbacks. None of them start in the NFL. Ridiculous.
How did no one, I just cannot get off of this. How did no one pick up a phone? I don't understand. How difficult is it to
absolutely
simply
ridiculous.
Pick up a phone and inquire? Hey, how's the shoulder feeling, big guy? Yo, you want to play here for like
I don't even care. I have Blaine Gabbert on my team. I don't care if I call you and you say, yeah, my shoulder is still sore as hell. I'm like, screw it. League minimum. Let's go.
Yeah.
At least I'm going to sell more jerseys and tickets.
You're telling me the Bears wouldn't be in a better position had they had Cam Newton right now? You're telling me the Raiders wouldn't look a little bit better had they had Cam Newton right now?
Just been more exciting. I mean, like, it's a Tim Tebow factor to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam Newton is that factor. He can come to any team and make it interesting.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's not going to be the LeBron James that's going to take every crappy team to a Super Bowl. But he's going to make them a playoff team, or at least contending.
Yeah, you're going to be competitive as long as you have Cam Newton. Like I said, y'all might want to listen to us now, believe us later on. And had you been listening to us now, and had you been following TBP Not a Game on Instagram, you would have won yourself some money this weekend. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you flex on him a little bit, John?
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? You know my name, now. Give me my money.
That is right. We're back, y'all. I mean, we've been back for a few weeks. College, NFL. Am I on? I don't even hear myself.
No, you're not.
Maybe just because I'm super excited. There we go. All right.
Let's
that was
try
crazy.
That again.
We're back, y'all. Again. Football, college, and NFL. Actually, this week, you know, we all know, if you guys have been listening to the show, college is my forte. It's our forte. It's how I make you guys money. If you guys are listening to my picks, I got a little inebriated this weekend and didn't wake up in time for my Saturday picks, which was really depressing, to be honest, because that's where I know my strategy. I know my betting lines.
Yeah.
Waking up at noon, never a fun time.
Just, you know, I'll talk your stuff for you for a second. My man John over here went 80% on his college football.
77, but yeah.
80% on his college football picks last year. That is unheard of. So go ahead.
Yeah, literally unheard of. Like Vegas doesn't even do that. So just saying. But yeah, so you know, with my depression looming on picks, not on the rest of my life, but I reloaded into the NFL week. Last year, again, if you had been following our show last year, you knew I was abysmal at NFL picks.
Yep.
Pretty much broke even on my college football picks because of my NFL habit. This week, a little different. Little different. Just like Tiger and the Masters.
Talk to him.
We're back.
Talk to him.
5-1-1.
Talk to him.
And that one came from a push off losing to Cam Newton. I should have taken Cam Newton. We've been talking about this whole time. Should have taken Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Should have done it. Didn't. But I did take a 14 parlay this week. Took the Niners -7. Even with 17 injuries to their starters.
God.
We still won by, what, 24? Jets, you're awful. I don't know who's worse. You or the Browns? Packers, -6.5 against the Lions. A little sketchy towards the end.
Yeah.
But we prevailed. Rams, this one was interesting to me. Rams were +1 on this game. I get it was in Philadelphia, but the Eagles have not looked great. Sorry, Jordan. Losing on all big fronts there. But yeah, +1, that was an easy one. The hard one I had to take, my Broncos, +7. Mm. +7. Man, did I want that win against the Steelers. And you know why I wanted that win against the Steelers. We came up a little short.
Mm.
But a little short was only 5.
Yep.
And I had 7.
There you go.
I technically won on the back end. Story of my life. And then, we had Chiefs over, which, you told me to take.
Yeah, so.
You know what? I'm going to take that back. You know, all my bets are on me. I do not blame anyone for my selections. It is my choice.
Kind of sounded like you're about to blame me there.
I was fully going to blame you.
Yeah.
I was completely going to blame you. But, that's not what we do here. You know,
Well said.
Degenerates, you know? We reload. That's all we do. And being so stoked off having the 14 parlay hit, which I'm not going to disclose the amount of money. It was a lot, over $1,000. Cool. Chiefs. I didn't want to end the night with a loss on the Chiefs over, so I took a little parlay, did a little two-teamer, did Seahawks -5, and we had the over of 45.5. Now, the over hit like 70. So that was all well and good. But this is why I'm telling you guys this right now. When I tell you early here on Mondays and Sunday doesn't start football, when I tell you the lines on Mondays, you need to be into it. Because the line all week for the Seahawks-Patriots game was -4. About 30 minutes before kickoff, it was 4.5. I got it right before kickoff at 5. They won by 5. Vegas does not miss very often. So those early lines, jump on them, you guys. Jump on them. Tonight, we have going Vegas. That's so weird for me to say.
It is weird to say
Vegas
Raiders. It's odd.
God, it's just a typical douche. Saints coming into the first game in Vegas. Saints -4.5. They're actually 5 at kickoff. I got them at 4.5. Huh. Over a 48. I'm taking both of those because, frankly, I don't like the Raiders. And I'm a Bronco fan. And I'm biased. And if it doesn't work out for me, then I still will bet Drew Brees every time. But look for that. Friday, new picks for Sunday. That was confusing. Friday, our new podcast episode comes out with my picks for Sunday.
There you go.
Stay tuned.
Make sure you download the podcast wherever you get your pods. Talking About Practice. Just search it. You'll find us.
How are you doing in your picks? I mean, you've been getting into your picks a couple more every week, more and more. Brad is completely down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen Brad in 3 weeks. He says he's training for some new job, but I think he's just betting. He says he has training in Reno, and I'm like, dude, you're just hooked to the sports book.
Yeah.
What you are.
Yesterday, I went 4-1. I didn't put down any of my actual money, and the one game I told you to take was the over, and that didn't hit by 3.5.
I mean, but to be fair, Chiefs,
Yeah, when did the Chiefs...
Chiefs-Chargers at 46?
They scored 23 points yesterday, I believe
it was. I mean, hats off to the Chargers and the rookie quarterback
came in. Justin Herbert came in and killed it, but I was not expecting that. I was expecting the game, if not to be a blowout, to be a lot more higher scoring than it was. And Mahomes was off, but it doesn't matter if Mahomes... Mahomes just needs one quarter.
It's ridiculous.
He needs like 10. He needs like 3 possessions, and they're still in the game.
You know, Mahomes hasn't lost a division game except for the Chargers.
Yeah,
he's only lost to the Chargers twice.
13-1, I believe, or 13-2.
Yeah,
now. Like that. Yeah.
Oh no, they just beat him 13-1.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, they should have lost that game.
It's Mahomes is unfair. He's a cheat code.
I'm unfair in betting. Get all my picks.
That's
my bankroll is fat right now.
Again, download the podcast if you want John's picks, which if you're interested in making money, I would suggest you do. Again, the Talking About Practice pod.
Yes, rate, way better.
Review, subscribe. It helps us out. It helps us build. We're growing, and we could use your support. So thank you for that in advance. Before we have a lot going on, we have our foreign correspondent coming up. We have to discuss our first team all world. Menacing athletes. We're going to get to all that. But first, got to remind you, this is Talking About Practice right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. And we are presented by Pullins Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullins has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico. They can be reached at 342-1055. Thank you to Pullins. Thank you to North Rim Adventure Sports. And again, most importantly, thank you to you, the listener. We appreciate y'all rocking with us on this Monday evening. So, yo, we've been talking a lot about Cam Newton, and I know our audience loves when we pull this up. So we're going to throw it back. This was an early cut when we first started the show. Some of Cam Newton's idioms. Thank you. So enjoy some Cam Newton idioms.
He is the man. The whole reason for the entirety of Straight Talk is for Cameron Jarrell Newton. So we're going to start with Cam telling you how he likes his music.
My music selection is pretty aggressive with the softness. Just tone it down just a little second so we can clear our minds and, you know, put like a little heavily voice in our hearts and minds.
I think the same way, too. When we pick the bump songs each and every day here in the show, we want to have our music be aggressive with the softness. Absolutely. And so when Bo and I start talking about planning the shows in the morning, we start putting the things together. And it's like almost like a recipe. Isn't that right, Cam?
It was a process. It wasn't going to be, instant grits, quick grits.
Nope.
It's going to be a process like long-cooked collard greens.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I think those collard greens are brewing right now. You can smell it from a mile away.
Absolutely. You can smell it from a mile away, those collard greens. And working so closely with somebody, at times you got to be cognizant of how that other person feels.
You know, anytime you're with a person for, you know, multiple years, 6 years to be exact, you know, he knows certain things that can, you know, ruffle the lion's feathers.
You got to know. You got to know. Because at times there can be a little tension amongst the show unit.
It's just a tale of execution. You know, we need a little bit more of that in the second half. There's a lot of guys playing with their butts tight, coaches with their butts tight. At one point, fans and myself was butt tight, too.
But I'd imagine so.
You know, you just have to find ways to get your groove back going. And, you know, we need a little bit more of that on next Sunday.
You got to get your groove back going.
You got to groove that booty loose.
You got to get your groove back going. You got to keep going.
You still got to keep, you know, moving the pendulum forward.
You got to keep going. You got to keep moving the pendulum forward. You cannot stop. You know why?
The monotonism of life can get old.
Absolutely, it can get old. Absolutely, whether you're playing football, whether you're setting up a sports talk radio show, this is not.
We're not playing ballet.
We are not playing ballet. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But at times, you can't be negative.
Unpositive.
You cannot be unpositive. You just got to go about your show unit and see and make sure everything works. You don't want to let all the secrets out, though. You got to hold some things tight.
We're not going to let the cat out the hat.
You cannot let the cat out the hat. You don't want to do it. You don't want to let the cat out the hat because you can almost guarantee that if you let the cat out the hat.
You can probably, you know, ink it in gold.
You can ink it in gold that some things are going to mess up. But if they do mess up, you can always remember.
Hindsight's always 50-50.
Hindsight's always 50-50.
Hindsight's Jeff Fisher.
Hindsight's always 50-50, okay? So when you're working with these show units, right, some things can get messed up in a way they can.
It could have been contorted in a way.
It could have been contorted in a way, absolutely. And I definitely don't want it to be contorted in a way. But with all that said, I will say.
You know, our morals are high.
Our morals are, in fact, high. Regardless of what happens, our morals will remain high. And we keep going, James. I see you over there. We keep going. You know why?
Yeah, we just lost a great player. But nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
It still has to go. One way or another, that Titanic's still going to have to go. You know why?
We just wanted to come out and oppose our will.
We wanted to oppose our will. I don't know if that meant we're going to keep going or not. We wanted to oppose our will. And when you, someone like Cameron Jordan Newton, and you're doing the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, right? At times, people will be critical of you, but at the end of the day, you have to remember.
You know, you put a person up on a pinnacle, and you just analyze them from so many different areas. It's kind of unfair, but, you know, that's the life we live.
Oh, absolute classic right there. Makes me laugh every time. You got to ink it in gold. Speaking of inking it in gold, we bring in our ringer.
Tiger Woods.
Our foreign correspondent, Aaron Isamaki. Aaron, how was your sporting weekend?
It was fantastic, but I'm insulted that Don would mention Tiger Woods right now.
No.
All right, let's speak on it.
Not the play to go here. And I'm also sort of offended that when he was talking about all of his bets, how he was like Tiger, I'm back. But safe to say, Tiger's not back.
Yeah, I was saying I win the best tournament once a year. That's what I'm saying by back. I'm back.
Well,
Tiger's back.
I mean, so yeah, maybe we haven't seen Tiger play in the Masters, but if he can't even make the cut at the U.S. Open, you know, it doesn't look good.
I'm saving it for the Masters.
Fair enough. We'll see.
Next two PGA Tours are at Augusta. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, sometimes you're wrong.
Okay.
Let me ask you. So what did happen in the U.S. Open this past weekend? We now know, we've established that...
Protein shakes happened. Bryson DeChambeau.
yeah, well, so I would almost say that, like, it was great watching Bryson DeChambeau win... But I would say that's not even the story of the U.S. Open. Ooh. I would argue that the greens were the story of this U.S. Open. They were hilly, and there were some incredible putts that happened.
Yes.
So I think that was the most interesting. I guess we shouldn't brush over Bryson DeChambeau winning by six, and Matt Wolff was a second at even. But yeah, these greens were wild.
And they came in, I mean, into the final round, they were paired, Bryson and Matt Wolff were paired together.
Wolff,
and Matt was, I think, two under to start,
two strokes back, I think.
Yeah, two strokes back of Bryson.
Yeah, so it was close.
Man.
It was a tough last day. And I think the crazy part is, I'm not going to lie, I don't know how old Bryson DeChambeau is, but I think he's either in his late 40s or late 30s or early 40s, and Matt Wolff is 21. So
wow,
Bryson DeChambeau is not older than 25. Just letting you know that right now.
He's not older than 25?
No.
Are you sure?
Okay, well,
doesn't even break 30.
Okay.
My bad.
No, you're good.
But, so then it's a young man's sport, apparently.
Didn't a golfer with the last name Lee, I can't remember his first name right now, didn't he six putt from 3 feet out? Did you see that?
Yes. That was this week. I think he four putted from 6 feet out.
Mm.
So Bryson DeChambeau is 27 years of age.
He's very young, then.
Well, he drinks whole milk and has steak every day, so he looks like a 17-year-old in the 70s.
But he always wears that dumb newsboy cap, which feels like an old man.
He really does. He really
That's
does
such
look
a
like,
great line.
He's like, get your papers here.
Yeah.
Just a knucklehead.
Definitely thought he was 41.
Oh, yeah. No, that newsboy hat he wears definitely ages him.
Yeah, his knees are probably 41 after all the swinging on that body that he has now. It's ridiculous. Yeah, ate another. I think they had 155 enter. They were supposed to have 156. Bryson ate the 156th competitor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a beast.
I mean, he's bulked up. He can drive that ball. It's incredible.
But Aaron, do you think after seeing him finally? I mean, he's been there before. He's won a national championship in golf. He's won an amateur tour. You know, the amateur cup. He's now at the U.S. Open, winning the U.S. Open. There's only a few more majors for him to kind of win that are the pinnacle. But do you see this style, like Bryson, you know, over, you know, working out and getting this kind of bulk going? Do you see golfers going this route now?
You know, it's kind of maybe, but I think another one of the big things too, though, is we have the benefit of science these days, right?
Right.
These clubs are so much better than they were 10 years ago and then compared to 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And the driving is impressive. I don't want to knock it, but it's, you know, do we want to watch a lot of golf where they're just driving the ball really far? That's not
true.
Fun golf, you know? Like, I think we saw the greens this week were incredibly exciting. You know, Patrick Cantlay hit the flag stick when he was, you know, chipping in from, like, 25 yards out. That's the fun golf, I think.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, but seeing more and more professionals being able to drive the green on two on a par five, or even some fours now, we're seeing more and more, is kind of exciting. You know, more eagle putts, more albatrosses, those kind of things.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's different. The game is definitely evolving.
Right.
And, you know, they can only make golf courses so long, right? So something's got to give.
That's what she said.
It's exciting to watch it evolve.
Fair. Let's move on from John's missed time joke here.
Brad's not here. I had to throw one in.
Yeah, I suppose. So the Stanley Cup is going down right now. Can you give us an update on what's happening in the world of hockey?
Fuck yeah!
Thank you.
So we are. Yeah, game two is being played right now by the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars.
Good series.
So obviously, that means that. Vegas did not come back from 3-1 down, and neither did the Islanders. Dallas took game one on Saturday, and they won 4-1. Tampa Bay has not lost two games in a row, and when I checked the score last, like 10 minutes ago, maybe 15 minutes ago, it was 3-0 in the first period. So Tampa Bay's storming back. They're not going to take this sitting down.
Yeah, second period starting right now. They're still up 3-0.
Up through, yeah. So obviously it's not over and wild things can happen, but Tampa Bay hasn't lost two in a row in this playoff series. So safe to say they'll take game two.
Call me a weirdo, but I always think it's fun when mascots match up, like that kind of, you know, the you could see these mascots fighting in real life, you know, like Lightning and Stars, you know, it's kind of like the same thing. Like who's going to burn out first, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'd like to see a real life fist fight.
Well, like, you know, Cardinals or Eagles, you know. Obviously, you know the Cardinals not, man, they're not going to match up, but
they're probably losing to an Eagle.
Stars and Lightning, it's like, I don't even know what those are. I just know they're bright and they scare me.
We're going to send you to back to elementary school where the teacher can teach you what a star and a lightning is.
Oh man. All right, let's, before we get into this list of our top five most menacing athletes of all time, I want to ask you, you had to have seen the end of that Lakers game last night, correct?
Yeah, of course. Do I breathe?
How are you feeling about your chances to make it to the finals and win the whole thing?
Oh, I mean, incredible, obviously, right? Like, how do we not? Our first two series, we won 5-1, even though we dropped the first game. So in this series, we didn't. Granted, we're playing Denver, who has come back twice from down 3-1. But I just, you know, Nikola Jokic, you think he's going to beat a LeBron Lakers team? It's just not going to happen. Just,
yeah.
We're definitely going to the finals.
Yeah, who would you, as a Lakers fan yourself, who would you prefer to have the Lakers play, Boston or the Heat?
Well, I mean, I hate the Celtics. That's just how it goes when you're a Laker fan.
Yep.
So I always like to see the Celtics lose, but it would be kind of fun to revive that that rivalry. But it's always a little scary when there's the potential to lose. And if we lose to the Celtic, I'm, you know, drinking myself into a stupor for the next 8 months. Because I just can't.
Yeah,
I just can't handle it.
That's fair. Anthony Davis finally had his playoff moment for those who missed the game last night. Anthony Davis hit a game-winning three at the buzzer, down one with 2 seconds left when they inbounded it. Hit, I mean, beautiful shot. No one talks about how Mason Plumlee completely fell asleep on his assignment and did not guard Anthony Davis, but still.
Well, there was supposed to be a switch. Apparently the five that they had on the floor was the first time that they've ever had that five together.
Probably
in the
not a good time to
season.
Trot him out, you know?
That was a bad.
So it was supposed to be, yeah, it was supposed to be a screen switch, and Plumlee didn't switch.
Yeah, well, how would you when you're playing with new dudes? You know? But yeah, the Lakers are looking solid. I'm really looking forward to seeing who comes out of the East. I got the Heat myself, but the finals should be a lot of fun. So as much as I've been a Laker hater, just because you guys have kind of ruined my life as a Warriors fan most of my life, this year with the passing of Kobe, I'd like to see him win, but I also love the Heat. So this is going to be tough, but looking forward to seeing how things progress there. Are you guys ready to do our I Got Five most first team all world most menacing athletes?
I'm ready.
All right, let me get the music. There we go. That's right, y'all. I Got Five on it. This week, all world most menacing athletes. In the vein of watching that James Harrison FanDuel commercial where he just destroys a civilian. Let's start with this question before we get into our list real quick. How much would they have to pay you, Aaron, to get hit by James Harrison full speed, no pads on grass?
Oh, man. You know, this is kind of a dude thing, too, where I'm just kind of like, you know what? I'm not interested. It's just, I can't. There's just no amount of money to save my dignity, you know?
That's fair. James Harrison once, during an interview, his kid came up to him. I believe it was during a Sports Illustrated interview. Came up to him and said, "Daddy, there's a snake outside." James Harrison went out. There was a 5-foot rattlesnake. He lives in Arizona in the offseason. James Harrison grabbed the rattlesnake, snapped its head, and threw it back into the property. That's who you're dealing with in James Harrison. So that's where the idea for this list came about. So Aaron,
I just put 5 James Harrisons.
Aaron, let's start with your list.
I tried to get creative here. You know, I guess we could have all picked UFC fighters, but that would be kind of lame.
Yep.
So I did pick one fighter though, and I went with Mike Tyson because, you know.
Because
no
Mike Tyson,
self-explanatory. No need. He'll eat your children.
Yeah,
we get it.
We got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Next, I went for Dennis Rodman.
Ooh, okay.
You know, as a kid watching him, you know, play with the Bulls, he was always kind of the bad boy, and he was like, you know, the enforcer. And so, you know, he's a little terrifying with that hair and the piercing. I wouldn't want to meet him in a back alley.
Yeah, neither would I. He's probably inebriated.
Yeah.
All right, who else you got?
Next, I got Randy Johnson.
Nice.
I know he's kind of scrawny, but he's got the ugliest mug. He's 6'10".
Right.
You know,
Imagine, him in a bar fight, he picks up a pool cue and just hucks it at you.
Yeah, no, I'm not dealing with him.
You're dead.
If he throws a beer bottle at you, you saw what he did to that
bird.
If he
threw a bottle cap at you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. And you couldn't block it because it's gonna have a nasty curve. That thing is going to break last second and just slice your throat. All right. Who else you got, Aaron?
I obviously went with an NHL player because who fights better than hockey players? And I went with Dave Tiger Williams. He has the most NHL career penalty minutes. He played from 1974 to 1988, and he was just, you know, out there picking fights left and right and beating guys down. So,
all right. Nice. I like that you have a little throwback there. And you got one more.
Last one. This is kind of a low blow, but Michael Vick.
Fair enough. He's probably rolling with some pit bulls. And you know those dogs know how to fight.
They are the most scared.
All right. John, do you have your list ready to go, sir?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Go ahead.
All right, so the first one I'm going with. Again, we could have won all UFC because it's friggin' terrifying.
Right.
I'm going to go with Kimbo Slice.
Oh, that's a great one.
Like, there's no way backyard, you know, football field, anything I want to see
that's a great pick.
Nothing.
That is a great pick.
Another one I'm going with.
He started in the backyard.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was famous for backyard brawls.
Yeah.
Literally in the backyard.
Yeah.
He was actually famous for just punching people in the face.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's also assault and a felony.
Not if you film it.
Not if you film it.
Yeah.
Touche.
You're good.
My second is going to be John Randall.
Wow.
Defensive end, Packers and Vikings, obviously. Yep. Guy was just... Eagles.
Yes.
Eagles and Vikings. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
A nightmare to handle. Easy one to transition to. Bill Romanowski.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Just always spitting in people's faces and just poking eyes and all that kind of stuff. I did a lot of football. You know, I grew up there. It's menacing to me.
Yep.
You know? Get away with it.
Aqib Talib? Is that where you're going? Yeah, I got you.
Dyslexia. Aqib Talib.
The chain snatcher
ever since he just ripped that chain off of Michael Crabtree.
Yep.
Don't want to see him.
Fair enough.
Don't want to see him.
Also, his grandma bucked shots in his uncle's room at one point in his life. And that's just how they dealt with problems.
Seems like an appropriate way to handle
that's
it.
That's even more menacing than I wrote down. So that's that's a good pick for me. And last one, you're going to have to help me out on this. I was trying to look up the name. I couldn't figure it out. The cornerback for the Titans that always fights everyone. Jernigan.
Cortland
Finnegan.
Finnegan, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's it's not like he's menacing, like he's, you know, a towering beast of a man. You know, he's probably like 5'11", 180. That dude is a little mini Dotson, dude.
Yeah.
That dude does not back down to anyone.
Yeah.
And almost beat up Andre Johnson. So.
Yeah. There you go.
That's terrified.
That's a solid list. I'm going to run through mine kind of quick. And I'll do them. I think I'll try and do these in order. They're basically all football players now. I look at my list and
they're
I'm disappointed. Number five, Ray Lewis, because murder.
Oh. Murder. Allegedly. But fully murdered. Someone.
Right. Number four,
Jamal Lewis, murder.
Jamal Lewis didn't murder anyone.
Allegedly.
Are you sure about that?
Got away with it. Look it up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up.
Dude, if you went to Miami's in the late 90s, early 2000s, you got away with murder.
Yeah, that's
right. Shout out Aaron Hernandez.
Definitely.
All right. Coming in at number four, Ben Wallace, Big Ben out of Detroit. 6'9", and he could curl 460 pounds.
What?
Yeah, look it up.
Curl?
Curl.
Curl.
Curl. Not squat. Curl.
Like with one arm?
No, I'm guessing with two, but I saw a video. one arm. Yeah,
he's just. I'm just picturing like those like twins in the circus that are like, aloo, aloo, aloo.
Ben Wallace, number four, number three, Lawrence Taylor. I think that's obvious. Why?
Yep.
Number three, Mike Singletary. Eyes.
Oh.
Not Mike Singletary. Just his eyeballs. Just Mike Singletary's eyes.
If for those that are listening that do not know who Mike Singletary is, imagine that 90s stress thing that you used to have and you squeezed and those eyes popped out. Yeah. That's Mike Singletary.
Do yourself a favor. This will actually be funny and it'll give you some context. Just Google Mike Singletary's eyes. I guarantee you it's the first thing that comes up. You'll know exactly what I'm talking
scary.
About. And number one, Marvin Harrison. And
what?
If you don't know why, read the GQ article about Marvin Harrison and the type of lifestyle he's living. There's no one in the history of sports that I want to see less in a back alley. Surprising, huh? You got to read the GQ article. It's pretty damning. Aaron, as always, thank you. We will catch up with you next week. Maybe we can even get you on the pod this week. Sound good?
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, all right.
Aaron. Thanks, later. Aaron. We'll talk to you later.
Damn it.
She gotcha.
Damn it.
Oh, man.
Maurice Clarett.
That's another one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that were on the honorable mention list that I didn't get to.
Well, I mean, I'm like 6'5 and 145 pounds soaking wet, so there's a lot of people that are menacing to
and
me.
And Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
He's a good one. I mean, you could just go through football players because pretty much every football player I would not want problems with.
Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, but he's so friendly.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
I feel like he would hurt you and then be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a Lenny, of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
Like, he'll kill you but then apologize.
Yeah. I forgot to mention my man, Eric Lindros. I wouldn't want to have problems with Eric Lindros.
No way.
He's pretty terrifying himself. Again, hit us up, TBP, not a game. Give us your suggestions for who we missed or who had the best list. Let's keep it pushing here. We don't have much time in the show left, and we have a lot to cover. I'm going to go ahead and skip my fake news and save it for another night. We talked about basketball. I know, obviously, after that big game-winning shot, we probably should have spent more time, but, I mean, what do you want to? What more can we say?
Can I just be brutally honest with you?
Yeah.
I watch football, dude, and that's on now, so sorry, basketball.
Yeah,
I watch the highlights.
I watch everything.
Yeah, I just don't like the Lakers, man. I just don't.
I mean, I love
LeBron, Davis
so.
Is soft. I'm sorry. That shot, whatever, dude. You're soft. Trying to yell out Kobe and then say, this is my court after the... No one is afraid of you, dude. Stop.
Okay.
Stop it.
I wish Derek was here.
Anthony Davis,
to have a rebuttal, but in any other year, I would agree with you again. For whatever reason, because of Kobe, I have a really soft place in my heart this
year. Yeah, okay, cool, and I get it. Yeah, they're wearing the jerseys. They don't want to lose in the jersey. I get the sentiment. I get it, all right? And I love Kobe, too. You know who I don't love? Anthony Davis thinking he's hard, all right? It's ridiculous. The only thing that's hard is the eyebrow, all right? Hard line.
Is Anthony Davis the Drake of the NBA world?
Ooh. I think he's more... Drake's harder than him.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm going more of like a Ja Rule. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe a P. Diddy. Not Puff Daddy, but like when he changed to P. Diddy.
Yeah,
like
when
that
cleaned
soft,
up,
you know?
When he cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I don't believe him. Not for a minute.
We don't believe you. You need more people. Let's hit a couple quick rapid fire topics before we get out of here. We didn't talk any baseball.
What's the reason for that?
Well, baseball's actually been really interesting this year. It just the
Giants have actually impressed me with no one that they have being a decent team towards the end.
I couldn't name anyone besides Yastrzemski and
Yastrzemski. Joey Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Pence in there. Pablo finally gave up.
Well, Pence is out.
Well, I mean, he's still on the team.
I'm pretty sure we got rid of him.
Pablo retired. Where's Brad when we need him?
Did Pablo retire? Or did we just get rid of him?
Well, we assigned him to like the single A, but he's going to retire.
Yeah, guaranteed. He's done. I think
designated assignment.
He was basically done when his
the Padres, man. How is this for 2020? Just when you think they couldn't get any weirder, the Padres. Are sitting at the table finally.
Yeah.
But, let's be honest, though. It's like when, your great aunt Tessie didn't show up for Thanksgiving and you got, like, that, parent spot at the table, but you should really be at the kids' table. That's the Padres. They'll be back there.
But they've been impressive.
They're really impressive.
Speaking of impressive, the Oakland A's kind of balling out this year.
Yeah, but, it's kind of an Atlanta Falcons mentality. Can you trust? They're in the same division as the Yankees.
I can trust them in a shortened season when things
I can't
are
trust
just
them
weird.
In a wild card game.
Yeah. Fair. Fair enough.
That one game. Don't get me wrong. I love the A's as an AL team. You know what I mean? They're their closest AL team we have. But, man. Can't get over the hump.
Another newsworthy story that we don't have nearly enough time to talk about. The NCAA announced that men's basketball will return November 25th. So it looks like we depending on how things go, might actually have a tournament this year. Y'all will remember last year the tournament got stopped midway, or not last year, this past...
This last tournament, this last February.
This past March.
I mean, I know it's felt like a year, but it's only been six months.
Time is on one hand, moving faster than it ever has, and also moving slower than it ever has.
Do you remember Tiger King? When everyone was like hyped up on that in March? That was like 14 years ago.
It's been weird. It's been weird, to say the least. It has...
We're getting back. We're getting back with some sports. We're getting back to normalcy.
Slowly. I mean, it's still so weird.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Man.
Yeah, well...
Well, Derek's not here, so I got to fumble the words, you know? Yeah.
Luckily for you, those might be the last words you get to say on the show, because we are up out of here. Thank you for checking out Talking About Practice. We anticipate having our man, Derek, in the building next week. And getting back to a bit more of the normal show, but this was a lot of fun. Thank you, sir. We want to thank our man Tyler Irving for spending the hour with us doing some photography.